This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hit on the ground to the left side, and it sneaks through into left center, a base hit. Andio is off on contact. He rounds third. He's in to score. Witt hustles to second, and he dives into the bag safely with an RBI double.
And rips a drive into deep right field, and it's going to drop on the warning track. Here comes one run. Everybody running in tandem, and they're going to stop India at third on the double by Bobby Witt.
Another 3-2. Breaking ball, fly ball, hit in the air. Left center field. Back goes Robert. Back he goes. It's off the fence. Two men score. Garcia's not stopping at second. He'll get to third with a two-run triple. And the Royals double their lead. It's 4-0 here in the fifth inning.
So, I mean, I could keep going. There's like eight more highlights of yesterday. A statement win. A statement win from the Kansas City Royals. Because, I don't know, it just felt like on Vern's postgame show 2 days ago, it wasn't enough. Show me more. Or as Ryback used to say in the WWE, feed me more. I need more evidence. I need more. And then all of a sudden, Sunday, getaway game for the White Sox. They don't want to be here anymore. The Royals are holding serve. They've won the series. They continue to win 10-0. And it was 2, and then it was 4, and then it was 6, and then it was 10, and they didn't score anything. And Chris Bubich could have given up 7 runs yesterday and still won, and he didn't. Dominant starting performance from Bubich. Boy, 1.69 ERA.
1.69 right now, yeah. I mean, that trade value is skyrocketing, Dusty.
To the roof.
We could get Ohtani for Bubich at this point.
I don't mean, you might be able to get Freeman.
and I would do that right now. Freddie Freeman for Chris Bubich, let's go.
And I kid, but like
I don't.
Yeah, I mean, I 100% would do. I'm just saying, yeah. The Dodgers. We don't need him to get upset again. And that yesterday, I felt like was one of those games, at least where maybe there was that fan or that person was like, you know what? I don't care that they're telling me that I should be impressed because they're winning and they're taking care of bad teams. But that was a win yesterday where I feel like when you look at that and you see how they won, it was like that should give the negative naysayer at least the opportunity to step back and say, okay, all right, that was a win. Mm-hmm. Because if you want to use a parallel universe of like a UFC or a boxer, let's say that you follow this UFC guy and he's got 3 wins, but they're all against like under 20 or below ranks in the world fighters. You're like, Well, you're beating the 25th best fighter, you're beating the 27th best fighter, you're beating the 24th best fighter. Show me an impressive win. Okay, you fight the 15th best fighter, but you knock him out in the second round. It's like, okay, that was impressive. That was not only that, you knocked out the White Sox yesterday. You said, yes, you're a bad team. We believe we're a good team, and today we're not going to play around. 10 runs. Michael Garcia was nuts. Chris Bubich was nuts. Bobby Witt Jr. was nuts. And in front of 25,000 people and in front of a bunch of kids that are, you know, excited because they're there and they're not in school.
Right.
But also, I hate to tell you, there's going to be probably at least 1,000 of those kids will never forget that experience because they're like, the Royals put up 10 runs and I was in from that day forward. And that's what this is about. Winning against bad teams, but also to continue to win, to keep the vibes immaculate. Bob Mack, I'm excited to see what the numbers are this weekend against Boston. I think tonight's going to be a huge draw. Sunday, I know it's Mother's Day, but there's a lot of nice moms out there that love watching the boys in blue play. And what a better day than 78 degrees Sunday at the ballpark with your mom.
It's going to be a great weekend. I mean, this is a perfect time to get out and do some stuff this weekend at the ballpark if you want to go watch a fun baseball team, because they are playing really good baseball right now. And again, I don't care that it's the White Sox and people got to stop talking about that. And I feel like they blew out their Jets yesterday. I feel like during our show yesterday was a time where a lot of people were driving into the ballpark, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people were listening to this show because they do. I mean, it is what it is, right? I heard Ryan Lefevre refer to it yesterday.
Well, ratings would indicate that.
They would. That's what I'm saying. Yes. Ryan Lefevre, you know, talked about it yesterday about, you know, the seemingly down feeling that, you know, fans are having with this team. We've heard it on Denny had something to say about it at the end of the game yesterday. Vern's post game show has had stuff to say about it as well. And so when everybody's starting to talk about it, you know, it's starting to kind of become a theme and people are wondering, like, what are we supposed to do? You've asked for a winner. We're giving you a winner. And those who are still not satisfied about the Royals, I do think there are people that do enjoy when things don't work out, right? They're not narcissists. What masochists, I think, is the word where you like to see negative things happen and you get that joy out of negativity.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people that do feed off of the negativity and it makes them feel better because the team is losing and it's, oh, I told you so. But I also think a lot of it has to do is we're not used to winning and we just don't know how to handle the winning when it comes to this baseball team. We have got to settle in now and understand that this thing for the foreseeable future, however long that happens to be, in the next 2 years, 3 years, whatever it is, they're going to put together a good product to be out there on the field. And now you have to expect that going in. Like, I think you expect the Chiefs to be in the playoffs every year. You expect the Chiefs to be in the Super Bowl every year. These are the same type of expectations now that you need to start having for the Royals. Mm. You need to go to the ballpark or turn the game on the radio and expect them to win the game every single night. And if they don't, that's an anomaly. Winning is no longer an anomaly with the Royals. Going out there and beating teams that they should beat and beating teams that they shouldn't beat or whoever tells you who they should be, winning is what we expect now out of this ball club. Mm-hmm. It's not something that randomly just happens every third Tuesday and we get excited about when they get a win and we pound and get mad about them when they lose. Like, this is a winning ball club. We have to start acting like that here and accepting that this is a winning ball club and they're going to do really good things as the season continues to move along. This is not an anomaly.
Yeah, I also think it goes back to the NFL kind of debate.
It
because
does.
You look at, you know, sometimes you'll see teams that'll play, you know, bad teams in the NFL. It's like, well, they beat the Jaguars, they beat the Browns, and they beat the Jets. Let's see what happens when they play the Ravens on, you know, week 4. And it's like, okay, yeah, they beat those teams. But then you can kind of dive in to kind of defeat that theory because the Royals won all 4 games against the White Sox. They outscored them 19-4.
Mm-hmm.
That's a plus 15 run differential. So if you want to look inside the stats, you want to get analytical, you can look at how you're beating teams. Now, if they were winning all these games 4-3 in the 10th, 2-1, and, you know, that was a total score.
Mm-hmm.
They win the next game, you know, 3-2, and then they win yesterday with a walk-off in the 9th, 5-4. Then I would understand where, like, negative Nancy fan base is like, yeah, I'd be like, you're right. You won those games, but you squeaked by the White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that in this situation. And you could, you know, if you want to kind of, you know, throw some sort of shade, be like, well, yeah, they won yesterday 10-0. Exactly. You're defending my argument. They outscored the White Sox 19-4 in this series, right? Their pitching is dominant. Their pitching's also proven that it doesn't just have to be the White Sox that they're dominant against. They've got the
best ERA in baseball right
now.
And
they have the best starting rotation.
Right.
And I love the way that Q described it yesterday in his post-press conference, that he said, it's not he's our one, he's our two. Every guy is just the guy up. And that means that, like, this team is winning and this team has a vibe. as Gen Z, I think, would say it's a vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody's selfish, right? Like, nobody's that guy. Like, Bobby Witt Jr. could care less if, now I know he wants to have a hit every time he gets up to bat, but yesterday Bobby Witt Jr. was one of many that contributed. The other night, he was a main focus point of why you won.
Right.
He got on, he stole a base, he scored. Yesterday, the team's kicking ass. He hits a dribbler through the middle of the infield and gets a double.
Right.
And why does he do that? Why? Not because it's Bobby Witt Jr.'s speed. It's because there's two different teams on that field. There's a team in the White Sox who could care less, and Luis Robert's just jogging to the ball. And then there's Bobby Witt Jr., who's not done yet, and he breaks out of the box and gets to second because he realizes that they're lollygagging in center field, and that's not his mentality. Their mentality is to continue to win and continue to play. Now,
well, could you imagine, though, being on a team like the White Sox? I mean, look, we've been there very, 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 very recent memory, 2 years ago, where you knew nothing mattered that you did out there on the field. And yeah, and that's kind of where the White Sox are. I mean, you're sitting with 10 wins now through the first month and a half, first 7 weeks or so of the season, and nothing that you do really is going to matter because you're not going anywhere. And you're already playing out the string, and you're already getting your ass kicked. Like, I can't imagine that sort of mentality that these players have to deal with. Imagine, like, in football, it's one thing to be on a bad team, and I've talked to, you know, Chiefs players over the years who were on some of these bad teams that we saw, the 2012 team for that matter, you know, and they just want the season to be over, and they're saying that in, like, December, you know, the end of the year. We're talking about baseball teams right now, like the Chicago White Sox, and you got guys out there. How many of those guys are ready for this season to be over, and you're only at the beginning of May in these situations, and so that sucks, and that's, again, a problem with baseball, is that you've got these teams out here that are already out of it, that don't care, and they're not trying, and they're not, you know, they're not giving their effort. And then you got a team like the Royals who are doing everything on their, you know, they possibly can to win games, because every game for them matters, because they know they're going to the postseason.
Right.
Clear up the thing about the Cubs and White Sox.
Yeah, he was never ever a Cubs fan, so I don't know where that came from. He was always a Sox fan.
Is it Jasper?
Our mother was a Cubs fan. I don't know, maybe that clued in there, and our dad was a Cardinals fan, so I don't know where that all came from. And all the aunts, our mom's family was from North Side, so that's why they were Cubs fans.
But he rooted for the White Sox.
That's right. But where it came from, I don't know, because he would have been the only one.
At least the Cubs had, at least the White Sox have that on their side.
They do. They have the God. They got the Pope.
Leo.
Yeah.
They got Leo, baby.
Hey, if the White Sox aren't going to win now, they ain't never going to win, right? Yeah. You got the Lord on your side. That was the funny thing yesterday about the whole Pope thing and how it all took off. Not only did America embrace it, it was only America could, right? On X yesterday. Again, it was one of the top days on Twitter of all time. I mean, it was just unbelievably awesome. I was laughing and cackling the entire day seeing what some of these folks were putting up there and talking about. And then you sort of realize, too, there's no city that lives in the past better than Chicago. Like, they're celebrating Ditka and the Cubs and the White Sox of 20 years ago. And
they had a picture of Jordan in the dunk competition with Pope Leo's face on Jordan.
I mean, the Bulls theme song Ricky that Heisler Hart put out there yesterday with, like, Chicago still thinks, like, McMahon and Jordan are walking through that door because they haven't had anything really since then, you know, of those two athletes. They haven't had a quarterback. They haven't had it. Obviously, nobody's had anything like Michael Jordan of those times. So they're still living in the night. I realized that yesterday. I'm like, everybody in Chicago thinks it's 1995 and they're all living their best life. Like Nebraska football fans, they believe it's still 1995 too. And hey, we're a good school. You're Nebraska. You're a mid school at best. You're Chicago. You're the Bears. You're a mid team at best. You're the Cubs. If it wasn't for people being drunk in the outfield, nobody would know you existed, right? So people in Chicago, man, embracing the 90s like it was nobody's business yesterday. With this new Pope, it was hysterical. I thought, I'm like, damn, they need something besides Ditka and McMahon and Jordan up there.
They got John Hughes.
Yeah, long time ago though, too, brother. Like that was the 80s.
They just did it so well though for like a decade that like they have enough to live on. They're like the Garth Brooks of cities.
Maybe.
Garth was huge in the 90s and he's still going out selling out tours, basically just doing karaoke.
Right. The Bears and Bulls were huge in the 80s and 90s and they're still selling Ditka and McMahon and all that kind of stuff and Jordan and
Garth Brooks is selling out 9 shows in a row playing Friends in Low Places that everybody knows.
And everybody loves it. And everybody goes and everybody celebrates.
Nobody hates
right?
Jordan.
Nope.
Nobody hates Ditka.
Nope.
people tend to like Chicago.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, just
duh,
like
Bears.
Yeah.
Yeah, but man. I said, duh, Pope, duh, Pope, duh, Pope, duh, Pope, duh, Pope. You know?
Chicago got a Pope before they got a 4,000-yard passer. Yeah, that one was yeah. good.
That was a good one, too, I thought, yesterday. Yeah.
I mean, the fact that they said that the Pope was drafted in 2 days and Shador Sanders was drafted in three days.
Yeah.
Showed Mel Kiper pissed off with like the Pope's hat on.
The Kiper stuff yesterday was some of my favorite stuff. You know, I don't understand why they're taking this guy in the second round. We got Shador Sanders sitting right there.
Oh, God. I couldn't quit it, man. Like, I didn't have like one moment where I was like, oh, okay. Like, they had Pope Leo's, like, his thing on, like the cape.
Yeah.
They had all the names before him on the back.
Like looking like the Browns jersey.
Yeah. 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 It's like John Paul II. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh my God.
Hey, really funny stuff great. Yesterday.
So
that
we got an American Pope before the Bills and the Bengals got a Super Bowl trophy.
Yeah, absolutely we did. Because we're never going to get the Bills and Bengals to get a Super Bowl trophy. I still like the Vatican one myself with the Buc-ee's in the center and the Waffle House and Costco.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, what three stores sum up America better than Buc-ee's, Waffle House, and Costco? Is there something that we're missing in
maybe
that
like
situation?
Maybe like a T-Bell or like a Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut's good.
Buc-ee's has got all that inside.
Yeah, see, got
that's the thing is like not everybody has a Buc-ee's. Though.
Right. Yeah, my sister said that to me yesterday. She goes, I don't even really know what Buc-ee's is. She lives on the East Coast. You know?
Yeah, I've never been in one, never seen one.
Yeah, I've been in one time.
They got beaver nugs that you eat.
It's gas.
Gas. Buc-ee's yeah, like 85 different pumps.
Yeah, I don't know, man. 85. Oh,
Bob
pumps.
Was referring to gasoline.
Yeah.
I was saying, yeah, that's fire.
No, they have like 85 gas pumps out there. 85. Wait till you see them by the new Chiefs Stadium in KCK. That Buc-ee's is going to be rocking.
I can't wait.
On game day, when the Chiefs are out at the Legends playing and Buc-ee's is rocking, man.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, beaver nuggets before the game for everybody.
Did you see the one that they had the Pope addressing the crowd and he was speaking Italian or whatever and it had like the subtitles on it? It's like, thank you for gathering here today. We're excited for a new adventure. Green Bay still sucks. Dude, I just could not stop. I'm like, Mac, I know you're the game and I'm being annoying, but dude, these are just banger after banger. There were zero skips.
Yeah, like, right, exactly. Yeah. It was like the perfect album yesterday. This one. I don't understand why the Cardinals picked Prevost when Shador Sanders, who I have as the best available, was on the board. And it's a picture of Mel Kiper.
Somebody said this summer we're going to see everybody's gender reveal look just like the Vatican.
This may have been my favorite one. Pope Leo is likely the first pope to have eaten Culver's.
Oh, I saw that one. So good. It's true. This man has had a double at Culver's.
Like, no other pope even knows what Culver's is, man. Like, it really is like allowing an American to be the pope, okay? Yeah. And again, I am not Catholic, so I will have my take on this, and people will roll their eyes. It's like caddy day at Bushwood, man. Like, you have just allowed the caddies to come into the Vatican and take over. Because that's what we do as Americans. We act the fool. Not that this gentleman is going to act the fool. But once he got promoted to the papacy, the popery, or whatever we want to call that, America lost their minds yesterday. Yeah. In only a way that America could lose their minds yesterday, relating this to sports and Buc-ee's.
To me, that was the most in unison Twitter has been in quite some time. Maybe that's foreshadowing that there are good things to come, but it seemed like there wasn't, and again, I don't know if it's like my algorithm, but like, I didn't really see a whole lot of like political stuff. I just saw everybody having fun jokes and basically like enjoying the moment.
Right. Yeah. Memes.
Like, it was meme city. And then you throw that, like there's this, there's a cat, it says it's him.
Yeah.
it's nonstop. But it was like one of those things where like everybody could just kind of like sit back and like enjoy it, not like go too far, not get mad at anybody. It was a funny experience. It was a good day yesterday.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. That's one of those days where you just kind of smiling, like, why can't every day be like this, right?
You know how some people say like tomorrow you just don't get on Twitter. Just stay off Twitter tomorrow. It's like, okay, fine, I will. And then you get on because somebody told you not to get on. You get on there, you're like, okay, that's why they said stay off. All right, I don't need to see this stuff. Yesterday was one of those days where it's like, call your friend immediately and be like, dude, I don't know if you have Twitter. Download it just for today. just be a burner account and just read all the it's hilarious.
Yeah, it was a great day.
Zach says instead of a Buc-ee's, there should be a Walmart in the Vatican. Yeah. That's probably fair.
Yeah, that's probably true. Everybody knows what the Walmart's
Walmart or
are.
A Target.
Yeah, something of that nature, yeah.
Walmart, Costco,
Waffle House. I mean, like, McDonald's. It just screams America right there. I did like this one, a skyline picture of Dallas with black smoke, and it says, black smoke in Dallas means we just traded another superstar.
Yeah, God. Then there started being like subplots, like Buc-ee's was doing it. They're like, we're letting people know when we open. Oh, that's great. I don't know. Yes, it was great. Today, Royals, Red Sox, tomorrow and Sunday. I'm expecting big attendance tonight. Mm-hmm. Firework Friday tonight. A lot of people will be out there. The weather's going to be great. Mother's Day weekend. But look, maybe now we get to have the people being, you know, we get the people sit. What happens if they win 2 out of 3 against Boston?
What if they lose, though, to Boston? Are we going to hear the naysayers come out
for
of the woodwork?
Sure.
Like, they're waiting, right? They're waiting to put their naysaying pants on, right? Do you think that the Royals are going to go out and lose to a team that's led by Richard Fitz?
That's awesome. Did you know that guy's on the Red Sox?
There's a guy named Richard Fitz on the Red Sox.
You want to know who showed me that? Take a wild guess.
Maloney.
Binkley.
Binkley showed you that, right?
He goes, yeah, did you see this guy? He does fantasy. Richard Fitz. and then has the audacity to do this. Get it?
No, he didn't. No, he did not. He went with the get it.
Yeah, he's like, Richard Fitz, get it? I'm like, yeah. We do Richard of the Week every Friday at 9.
Oh, my
Another
God.
Word for Richard? You know what I'm talking about?
He didn't say that.
Yeah, he goes, Vern sent me this. It's hilarious. Look at this guy. Pitch for Boston. Richard Fitz. Get it.
It's not that funny until you say get it.
Yeah. It's like, okay.
Because I can see Bigley do that, thinking like he's got to explain this one to people. Yeah. I mean, seriously, though, if you're the Fitz family, right, and we're not talking about the late great Al Fitzmaurice. They're Fitzmaurice. This is the Fitz family. You can't name your kid Richard. You got to do the say it out loud test before you name your children.
I don't even think you need to do the say it out loud test. You just write it down.
Yeah, Richard Fitz. Nope, can't go with that one. I mean, could you imagine that guy growing up? I mean, I know what it would have been like growing up in my generation. I don't know if this generation still makes fun of people's names like we used to. But Richard Fitz going to high school, man, come on now.
I mean, he could also have a hell of a year like promoting his name.
Yeah, true.
Like
if
he ran for like
student council.
If the Richard Fitz.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, perfect. If the Richard Fitz, you must acquit, right? Yeah. Oh, my God, though. But seriously, say it out loud. Write it down. Like, Richard Fitz, what does this guy do? Does he pitch?
Mm-hmm.
He does. Does he shove? Do we know? Is he a good pitcher?
I don't know. I think he's a stopper.
Is he?
He's a stopgap.
Who do we need in this situation, Skip? I don't know. Richard Fitz.
Call up Fitz.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching. Phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Which one? You know the one. We're up two.
Richard Fitz in this situation.
Yeah. Can we get Denny Matthews, please?
Yeah.
I don't know who's producing this week, and I'll send a text every day. Coming in for Boston, Richard Fitz. The situation for Boston currently, two on for the Royals, Richard Fitz.
Richard fits this situation perfectly. It's a dumpster fire out there. Like, is he a mop-up guy? Is he a starter? Is he a bullpen guy? Is he somebody that they count on? The man's name is Richard Fitz.
Couldn't tell you.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. That it's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.